Okay, welcome everyone to the next step in our travels through Shas Bavli. We have the schus of starting Mesechta's Beitza, or Beah, as some call it. Most of Mesechta's Beah or Beitza is about Yani Yantif. Much of it is about Hilchas Muksa, Shabbos and Yantif, but as we get later in the Mesechta, primarily in Yanim of Yantif as the first Mishnah starts off. Because much of the beginning is about Muksa, I just wanted to start off with the Rambam. The Rambam about Muksa, the Rambam gives three reasons for the Isser de Rabbanon of Muksa. We know Muksa is what's called in the Gemara Ein Lo Ikara Min HaTorah. It's not based on an Isser de Rabbanon, it's not based on a Din D'Oraisa, it's a special Din de Rabbanon, Ein Lo Ikara Min HaTorah, but it is a Chomer de Rabbanon. As we will see, the Tosfos in Yushanim is going to say this on Daf Gimel, that it is a Chomer de Rabbanon and it's Kein D'Oraisa. We treat it sometimes like a Din D'Oraisa. Muksa is going to be a rule breaker in the world of the Rabbanans, as we'll see a number of times, that Muksa is treated like a D'Oraisa, even though it is really a D'Rabbanon. The Rambam at the end of Perchav Dalet in Hilchah Shabbos discusses three reasons why the Rabbanan asered Muksa. Three reasons. Okay, we're going to come back to this Rambam a number of times. Asur Chachamim Lataltal Miksa Zvarim B'Shabbos Kederach Shosa Bachol. The Chacham asered moving certain items on Shabbos. Again, there are going to be ten types of muksa or so, but we'll get to a bunch of them in this Masechta. The Chacham asered moving certain items on Shabbos, like we move on Chol. Why did Chazal make this Issa D'Rabbanan a muksa? Number one, Amru. Uma im isiru neviim b'sivish lo yehi luchach b'Shabbos ki luchach b'chol, v'lo sichas ha-Shabbos ki sichas ha-chol. If the neviim, in Yishayahu HaNavi, in Perek Nun Ches, told us that our walking on Shabbos is supposed to be different, and our talking on Shabbos is supposed to be different. Shenemar v'davar davar, kal v'chomer. So surely, the Chachamim said, shelo yehi tiltu b'Shabbos ki tiltu b'chol, kidei shelo yehi kiyom chol b'einav. So surely what you move around on Shabbos should be different, etc. Skip a line. But if the Shlosh Shabbos, you're moving, your tiltal, if your dibur is different and your hiluch is different, surely your tiltal should be different on Shabbos as well. And the pasuk that says in the Torah Laman Yenuach that you shall rest will be batel if your tiltal is different. Rav Soloveitchik, we'll get back to that first reason in a second. First, let's finish all three reasons. That's reason number one, that just like your dibur is different, then your hiluch is different, so too your tiltul should be different. Number two, says the Rambam, the ode, kisheyevaker v'yitalto kelim shemalachtan l'isser, efshar sheyis asik b'hen ma'at v'yavel d'imalacha. If I move around kelim, which I usually do isurim with, so then it could very well be that I might come to do an aveira. If I'm allowed to carry pens, to move pens, and to move staplers, and to move other items that are what's called klisha malachta l'isser, which are items that are usually used for an isser purpose, which sometimes is in the category muksa, it might be a separate category muksa. We had in Masechta Shabbos that klisha malachta l'isser was decreed at a different time in history than the rest of muksa, if you remember from Parakol HaKelim in Masechta Shabbos. But that's the Rambam's second reason. The second reason for muksa is because I might come to do malacha if I'm involved in being osik in these items. The ode, reason number three, says the Rambam, b'pnei miksas ha'am elam bali umnios, ela b'telim kol yameyan. Some people don't work. Some people are what the Gemara calls yoshvei kronos, that they're home all day. Could go in tayalim v'yoshvei kronos, shekol yameyan eshosim b'malacha. All day they don't do malacha. So let's think about it. In a world prior to electricity, in a world prior to other technologies that we have, so you're sitting and you're not being osik, you're not going to work. So how do you know it's Shabbos? How do you know it's not Shabbos? So you dress differently. So what else different is there in your life? Right? You're sitting around, you're schmoozing, you're drinking. So what else is... So Chazal said we need what's called in the Rambam's Lashon, Shvisa Nikeres. We need a recognizable stoppage, a recognizable difference between today and tomorrow, between Shabbos and weekday. Says the Rambam, that's reason number three why there's the Isra Muksa, so that there is what's called a Shvisa Nikeres, a clear difference, contrast between a Yom Kodesh and a Yom Chol. Those are the three reasons the Rambam gives for muksa. Again, number one, just like your hiluch is different and your dibur is different, so too your tiltul should be different. Number two, so that you don't come to do malacha. Number three, because some people don't do work the whole week and you need a shvisa nikaris. Rav Soloveitchik just had the one ha'ara that the first reason in the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes, as I started off, all of muksa is d'rabbanan. It's ein lo ikara min haTorah, it's a chomer isser d'rabbanan, but it's still d'rabbanan. But the Rambam in the first reason quotes that if you don't fulfill muksa, he says, v'nimsa shelo shavas, v'batel hatam shenemar batorah l'man yanuach. if you don't fulfill the laws of Muksa, so then you're not going to fulfill Laman Yanuach Sharcha V'Chamarcha, the pasuk in the Torah that says you shall rest. Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the Rambam quoting this pasuk? There's a difference between the Isser of Muksa and the Kiyam of Muksa. Isser of Muksa is Drabanan. Why am I not allowed to move certain items? Why can't I touch certain things? It's an Isser Drabanan. But when I fulfill Muksa, that's a Kiyam D'Araisa. There's a Kiyam D'Araisa of Muksa when I prohibit myself and I hold myself back from all the Muksa items. That's a Kiyam D'Araisa of Laman Yanuach. Sometimes you have Isurim D'Rabanan, but a Kiyam D'Araisa. That is the Rambam by Muksa, and I'll just give you one other example, and then Bezrim will be able to start the Mishnah. The Beis Halevi writes this in his big discussion of the Heter Mechira, right? Shemitah's coming up, right? The big discussion of the Heter Mechira in Beis Halevi in Simon Aleph and Chel Gimel, that's where he has pages and pages about this. So he talks about Shviyas Bezman Hazeh. Shviyas Bezman Hazeh is Drabanan. Shviyas Bezman Hazeh. So he writes, O Zosda, Ki lo kol takanos Drabanan domim, v'yesh bem chilukim. You can't compare all these Surim Drabanan. There are chilukim between them. Yesh mehem masha asru chachamim o masha tiknu b'davar. There are some times that chachamim make a rule. Sheba atzmo shel zeh ha'davar ein bo isur d'araisa. There's nothing to araisa about this item. V'rak mishum siyag l'geder. It's a siyag. Shelo yifke'u b'd'araisa. V'chadome b'zeh hu d'amru savi d'rabanan l'hakel. Sometimes you have pure d'rabanans. Pure d'rabanans. Eating chicken and milk. It's a pure drabanan. So you don't come to do meat and milk. Is there anything daraisa about chicken and milk? No. If you do this, then you're not going to be able to do this. There are certain items that are just asur mi drabanan so that you don't come to do something else. Amnam, says the Beis Halevi, Masha hadavar ba'atzmo hu mitzvah daraisa, v'hamakayma osa mitzvah mamish, asher ha-Torah tzivsa alav. Sometimes you could do an act which inherently is a daraisa. But there's a technical reason why it's not the araisa b'zman hazeh. So the rabbi kamo iser shvius, right? So not working the land inherently, that's a araisa idea. You're right. There's a reason why it's drabanan today, but it's a araisa idea. Rak inachiyav ba'ata mishum de'ena yovel noheg. Drabanan tiknu sheischav ba'ata. Avo etzam asiyah b'shmir shvius u'mitzat atzma daraisa hu chamer yoser mishari drabanan u'kemakayma schara gadol. You could have a kiyam d'oraisa, even though the chi of gavra on a person is only d'rabanan. Again, there are a number of examples of this. This is not exactly, because here we're talking about muksa, which is totally d'rabanan, but we have this principle. And you could have an iser d'oraisa, but when you fulfill something, it is a d'rabanan, but when you fulfill it, it's a kiyam mida oraisa. So that's another example of the Beis Halevi, but this is muksa, and again, as I said, much of the beginning of Maseches Beitzah is about discussions of inyanim of muksa. And as we get further, it'll be about yontif in general, touch on Shabbos as well, but again, it's one of those Masechtas, as we just said, Masechtas Sukkah, that the question is not what to say, but what not to say. There is just, every daf is just so action-packed, with Rishonim, and Achronim, and Halacha L'Maisa. It's just unbelievable, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to do, again, as much as we can, Kedarkenu Bakodesh, we'll try to do the most we can. Okay, let's start Masechtas Beitzah. Beitzah Shenol DeBeyantif. So the first three halachos in the first Mishnah, and why they put all three. These are three examples where Beis Shammai is Lekula and Beis Hillel is Lechumra. Maseches Idios lists a number of them. All the Tanaim Maseches Idios said, I have three cases, I have six cases, I have five cases. Altogether, there are more than three cases. But here, at least we have one group of that are put together. They're put here all together, not because they have any substantive connection between them, but because they are three examples. It's unusual. Usually Beis Hillel is the more Mako. Here Beis Hillel is the more Machmer opinion. So Beis Hillel is all the Yontif. Let's say you had an egg that was laid on Yontif. Are you allowed to eat that egg, right? You're allowed to cook the egg, right? Maybe daraisa, right? Because we know there's a heter of ochel nefesh. The two major differences between Shabbos and Yontif is hotza'ah, carrying out without an eruv, and bishul, and preparing, not just bishul. We'll talk about the details in Daf Gimel. It's going to come up which items, which hachanis of food are allowed on Yontif. So let's say the egg came out on Yontif, so you're allowed to cook it. So we're not talking about eating it raw if you don't want to. But are you allowed to? So Beis Shammai omrim te'achel. Beis Shammai says, yeah, eat it. The egg can be eaten, even if it comes out on Yontif. Well, Beis Hillel omrim lo te'achel. Beis Hillel says, no, you're not allowed to eat it. The Gemara will discuss why. For now, let's just say it's a type of muksa. It was not here when Yontif started. Now it's here, and therefore it's a type of muksa. And Beis Hillel says, no good, you're not allowed to eat it. Halacha number one. Number two, Beis Shammai Omrim. Oh, just one other. Our Tosfos here, just note something. The top Tosfos says, why does the language of the Mishnah use the lashon of whether you can eat or not eat the egg? Why didn't Rabbi Yudanasi write Osrin or Matirin? Beis Shammai Matirin. Beis Hillel Osrin. That's usual Lashon. What are you supposed to do? What do you mean? Egg? Why do you focus on the egg? Eat the egg. Don't eat the egg. Say Asher Amutter. So Tosfos has three answers. Let's just do the first one. First skinny line. V'yesh Lomar. D'yavitani Osrin Matirin. If the Mishnah would have said the language of Oser and Matir, Hayisi Omer, Shemasha Matirin, Abeitza Hainu Letaltel. Alva Va'achila Asura. If the Mishnah would have used the language in Beis Hillel, Mutter, I would have thought only Mutter to move. But even Beis Hillel would agree it's usher to eat it. Kamashmalan, you have to say eat it to show that Beis Hillel were said you could even eat it. This is already an allusion to the idea that's going to come up, that there might be chilukim even within something that's muksa, that you could do something with it, but you can't do other things with it. Maybe you'll be able to move it, but not to eat it. We'll have to see where else that comes up. Tosfos quotes one case later on Daf Chavdal, where it comes up. But Tosfos says that would have been the Havamina. Kamashmalan, that's why the Mishnah has to use the Lashon of Teachel to teach me that Beis Hillel says, I'm sorry, Beis Shammai says that you can even eat it. Okay, that's first machlokas. Number two, Beis Shammai Yomrim Seor Bekizayitz V'chamis Bekakoseves. We know on Pesach there are three Isurim of Chametz. There's an Isur to eat Chametz. There's an Isur to get pleasure from Chametz, Hanah, right? I can't just walk past the bakery on purpose in order to smell the Chametz, even though I'm not eating it. I'm getting Hanah from it. That's number two. And of course, number three, I'm not allowed to have Chametz in my possession. Bal Yeroh, Bal Yimatzeh. I'm not allowed to see it, I'm not allowed to find it, whether that's one of it, one Isur, two Isur. Either way, those are the three categories. So says Beis Shammai regarding that. Beis Shammai Orim Sa'or B'Kizayis V'Chametz B'Kakoseves. How much Chametz is usher for me to have, and how much sa'ar? Sa'ar is yeast. Sa'ar causes things to become chametz. Sa'ar is also usher on Pesach. Do they have the same minimum requirement, the minimum shear, or not? So Beis Shammai says, we'll learn it out from Sukkim in the Gemara later on. Sa'ar b'kizayis. Sa'ar, yeast, the shear is a kizayis, an olive size. The chametz is a little bigger. Chametz is a little more mako. You could have a kizayis of chametz, midaraisa. But kakoseves, the size of a large date. Koseves from Yuma days. That's the amount that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But Chametz B'Kakoseves, that's the next year up. He'll learn it out from Sukkim. Ubeis Hillel, no, Beis Hillel is Machmir. Zeves Epikazayis. No, even Chametz has the smaller minimum shear of a Kizayis. Okay, Machlokas number two.
Mashu.
Sorry? Mashu is not a shear in Halacha. The smallest shear is a Kizayis. Kizayis, Koseves, Kibetza. That's the order. Number three, third machlokas quoted, again, and number two and number three machlokas is going to talk about later on in the Gemara. Hashoch in chayva op yantif. Let's say you shecht an animal on yantif. You shecht a chayin and op on yantif. So what do you do? We know there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of kisui hadam, covering the blood. That is, by the way, why? Why does the Mishnah specifically say hashoch in chayva op yantif? What about a behemoth? What happened to behema? Chai is a wild animal, oaf. There's no mitzvah of kisui adam by behema. That's why it only says chai v'oaf here, because that's what we're about to talk about, the mitzvah of kisui adam. So if you shech the chai v'oaf on yantif, which you're allowed to shech, right, as part of the process of preparing food, so what do you do now about kisui adam? What's the issue? The issue is that you're going to cover it with dirt, but dirt is muksa. So what do? So Beis Shammai Omrim Yachbar B'Dechav Yechasa. No problem, says Beis Shammai. You take a shovel, you dig some dirt, and you put the dirt onto the blood that's on the ground. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no. Lo Yishchot El Im Kem Hayelo Ofer Muchan Mibod Yom. You're not allowed to shech to the first place, says Beis Hillel, if you foresee that you don't have dirt available. That's Lechad Chila. We're going to talk about this from later on, a topic that we've touched on a number of times, and that is, do you take a short-term or long-term view of mitzvahs? Right now, I have a hefted shecht. What do I have to worry about later on? Right now, I have to, okay, I'm going to have a mitzvah of Kisi Adam in 10 minutes from now. I'll worry about that then. Am I allowed to do that? Or do I have to say, no, in 10 minutes from now, I have to worry about it, so therefore, I'm not allowed to do it now. So that seems to be part of the issue here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, shecht, worry about it later, and then get the dirt. Beis Hillel says, no, before you shecht, you have to make sure you have dirt available in order to do kisui adam. Umodim, but Beis Hillel does agree, shim shachat, once you shechted and you need the dirt, shiachbar b'dekar v'yichasa. So then, you need to do kisui adam, so then you're allowed to do it. Okay, this will be discussed later. Last four words of the Mishnah, we'll see the Gemara says is a separate statement, even though there's a shin there. She'efer kira muchan hu. Efer kira, the ashes of the oven, is muchan also, is not called muksa. The ashes that you use, you just cook something on yantif, the ashes that are now created is muchan in order for you to use for kisi hadam. So that we'll get to later on. Fine. Gemara. Let's go back to the first couple of bladder. It's going to be about the machlokesh between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the first one, and that is Beis Shishon Olda B'Yantif. There was a Beisa that came out of the chicken on Yantif. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to eat it. Beis Hillel says no way, you're not allowed to eat it. But Mayas Kidan, what type of chicken are we talking about here? What type of chicken had this egg? Elema b'tarnagolas ha'omedes la'achila. Are we talking about a chicken that you were going to eat? Meaning, the chicken was food. You could have shechted this chicken today. It's not separated. Muksa. It's not that. Muksa literally means set aside. Muksa. That's the literal. Muksa is the opposite of mukhan. So muksa, if we're talking about a tarnagolas ha'omedes la'achila, if it's a chicken that you usually eat, then my time I had to Beis Hillel. So why does Beis Hillel say it's aser? You have a chicken here that's food, so that an egg came out of it. So you know what? Uchla d'ifrisu. It's just like you pulled off a palki from the chicken. It's a piece of the chicken. So just like if you have a piece of food, you can take a piece of food off of the food, right? So we discussed last week. There's no iser korea when it comes to food, right? You have to take the chicken. So suddenly the egg comes out. It's uchla d'ifrisu. It's food that's separated from other food. So why did Beis Hillel say it's aser? Ella, so what must be the case of machlokes? B'tarnagolas omedes la'achila beisim. It must be a chicken that is not there for food, but it's there to give you eggs. So you have no intention of using this chicken today. You want this chicken, you have to stay with you for a long time to give you eggs. So the chicken is muksa. So the chicken is set aside. You're not going to use it on Yantif. So now we ask the other way. So now if the chicken is muksa, it's designated away from you, so my tamay de Beis Shammai. So how does Beis Shammai say it's mutter to eat it? Muksa he. It's muksa. Right? So how does Beis Shammai say it's mutter if we're talking about a chicken that's there to have eggs? So Gemara says, 1 second, umay kushya. What's the question? Dilma Beis Shammai, let's say muksa. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold of muksa. Doesn't hold of muksa. Wow. How can you say such a statement? Doesn't hold of muksa. So the Me'iri here says, and again, it's going to be pretty clear from the Gemara in a minute. The Me'iri here says that there's going to be a Shita of Rav Shimon that's quoted throughout Maseches Beisa, that's quoted many times in Maseches Shabbos. Rav Shimon less lehu muksa. Rav Shimon doesn't hold a muksa. What does that mean? That does not mean that he did not hold a muksa. Read the language of the Me'iri here. V'tzarek sheteda shekol hachachamim modim be'isr muksa derech klal. Every Tana, every opinion in the Gemara holds of some muksa. Every opinion holds up the concept of muksa. Ella, because there are so many types of muksa, ein kol hachachamim modim bekol osam haminim. Not everybody agrees to all the muksas. V'hayoser mekel shebekulam hi Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon is the one who's most mako by muksa, and that's why he's called in the Gemara less lehu muksa. V'hushana omen b'chol ha-talmud Reb Shimon less lehu muksa. V'rotzen bo, what does that mean? She'ein bo iser muksa b'rov haminim she'shachacham amru b'hem. But not that he rejects the muksa also. So here, when the Gemara suggests maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muksa, it can't be he doesn't hold of it at all. Maybe he doesn't hold of the muksa that this Mishnah is talking about. Another example of this, Tosfos in Dibur Maskil Dilma. Tosfos asked Beferish on this line. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muksa. Tosfos says, Tema, we have a case where Beis Shammai does agree to muksa. Tema b'masis and karma behedya to Beis Shammai islahu muksa. Later on, Diktani lo yito elam kenyani eba bo yom. Talking about a case of a chicken coop, later on in the Mishnah, later on in Daf Yud. Are you allowed to take out the chickens to use them on Yantif? You had to move them around. You had to do some type of maisa that showed that you weren't pushing them out of your mind. So you see, Beis Shammai does hold the concept of muksa. How could the Gemara suggest that he rejects it? So says Tosfos, no, there's different kinds of muksa. Yesh lomar, Tosfos says, de muksa de ba'alechayim chomir tfei, u muksa biyoser. Animals are a very stringent category of muksa. And he for sure would hold of that muksa. Right, animals, pets, we discussed, are muksa. V'hasamu de'islay muksa. Over there we hold a muksa. K'dechasin Reb Shimon, just like Reb Shimon, who's the one who doesn't hold a muksa. Avagad leslay muksa. Islay gabi grogres et simukin iskatsoy tvei. By grogres and simukin, which are types of fruits that are being dried out on the roof, that as they become dried out, they become putrid, and they're totally inedible. So Reb Shimon agrees that you can't use those on Yantif, because you totally are maksimidaito. They're out of your head. You're not thinking about them. So you see from Tosfos, you see from the Me'iri, that really everybody holds a muksa. The question is, how much muksas do you hold of? So that's what the Gemara here suggests.
So what's our case here?
So the case here, we'll get to what our case is in the next line. So the Gemara suggests, again, let's get back, let's focus. So our mission is talking about a case where the chicken is there to give you eggs, so therefore isn't it muksa? So maybe the Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muksa. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muksa. So the Gemara says, no. Kasalka daitin afilu d'man d'shari b'muksa b'nolad asa. No. Everybody, the havamina at this point is that even if you hold that muksa is okay, there's no concept of this muksa, nolad is going to be usur. Nolad, you might say, is a separate type of muksa, or it's a new category. Nolad means, as the word infers, nolad is something that was born today. That's a unique type of muksa. Muksa is usually something that's here, that's out of my das, it's a rock, it's something else that I'm not thinking about. Nolad is something that became, that's new. It's new in the world today. Nolad. So then, that's the Havamina, that even if you'd say muksa is okay on Shabbos, at least this muksa, nolad you'd say it's asr. So Beis Shammai has to hold of nolad, and we're talking about nolad here. The egg came out of the chicken. It's nolad. So that's why we assume that nolad is more chomer. So now we're back to the kasha. My tamar de Beis Shammai. So why, what's the reason for Beis Shammai? What's the reason for Beis Shammai? We're back to the question. Again, if we're talking about a case where the chicken is omed legado beitzim, right, for it's a muksa type of chicken, so how can Beis Shammai say mutter? Just one hour before we continue, and that is, there is a machlokas here between Rashi and the Arzarua. Rashi and Arzarua, why is Nolad assumed to be more usser than other muksas? So Rashi here says, look at the end, Rashi, the end of Rashi, Dibur Maskel Kasalka Daitin. Rashi says, Aval Nolad lo have yada to nehevi daiti ilave. Rashi's focus is on the Gavra. You don't know, you didn't know. You didn't know it was going to come out today. There's a chisaron in the Das HaGavra, according to Rashi. You didn't know. That's the lashon of Rashi. The Arzarua, at the beginning of Maseches Beis, quotes Rashi. After a number of questions, he argues, and he says, no, the focus of Nolad, you know why? It's because it's a new chetz in the world. It's a new chetz in the world. Something new is here. Read the lashon, Hilgal Pirish Riva, Dolosayach Lomer Nolad El Bedavar Shenishtane V'Naase Roy Lodavar Shlohaya Roy Lo Mitchila. A new thing. Nothing to do with a person. A new object. To go and base us, trying to go with some medicine, like base him. Like, it's a new egg. It's not that anything to do with a person's thoughts, but it has to do with the chefza. Achronim generalized this, Machlokas Rashi and the Arzarua, to say that in general, there are two focuses of muksa. This is about Nolad, but there are two focuses of muksa. Is muksa more about the Da'as HaGavra? It's more about, it's a lack in me, in my thoughts. I wasn't thinking about this. Or is it something about the item itself, the chefza? There's a problem with the hachanas hachefza. Hachanas hagavra, hachanas hachefza. That's how the achronim discuss it. Here it's a machlokas and nolad. Give you another example. Let's say there's a candle that's lit. Candle that's lit going into Shabbos. So I'm maksa it midaiti. It's out of my mind because I know it's muksa. But let's say it went out before Shabbos. So really it wasn't muksa inherently, but I just thought it was muksa. Machlokas achronim, is that muksa? If you think something is muksa b'ta'us, is that muksa? So mitzad the gavra, it's fine. It's not. It was my chisaron, but I was wrong. I was wrong. But mitzid, if you focus on the chanas agavra, that it should still be muksa because I wasn't making it in my mind. But mitzad the chefze itself, the chefze was roi. I just didn't think about it. Or another case, and then we'll move on. The Ramah quotes in Hilchos Shabbos: there is no muksa by chafatzim shel goyim. They're not muksa. No muksa by chafatzim shel goyim. Either the lashon of the Ramah. There is this Ramah. The Ramah writes in Shin Yud Sif Beis. The Yesh Omrim, the Ein Hachana Shayach B'Shel Kusi, the Afilu Grogers V'Tzimukim Shebiyadu Mutarim. Even totally muksa items are mutter. Anything that belongs to a guy is mutter. And the Magen Avraham here and the Taz discuss, maybe not, maybe there are limits, maybe Grogers V'Tzimukim Shel Limit. And again, this might be focused on the Gavra or the Chefza. Besides these chafatzim, these objects, there's no difference between a guy's objects and a Jew's objects. If it's grogos v'simukin, if it's these items, these fruit that become putrid as they get prepared, then you should say it's muksa, it's off limits. But if you focus on the achanas agavra, so maybe there's a difference. Maybe there's a difference between a Jew's items and a non-Jew's items. Okay, but either way, that's my focus here between Rashi and the Arzarua. Why is Nolad more chomer? Because I wasn't thinking about it, or because the item is new? Two ways to understand. Okay, so now we go. So back to the question. So what is the reason for Beis Shammai? Yeah, Aaron.
In terms of that lungus, the fact that an item can be muksa misadechad, not
misadechad,
is
totally
on the gavra itself.
It can be muksa misadechad, but not misadcheni, but the gavra is involved, but if you say the focus is the chefza, so even if it's huksa b'dasa gavra, it might not be muksa. Like in the case of the ta'us, maybe it's not muksa, because I was wrong. I was wrong, even though I was maksit midaiti. We'll have to see throughout the Masechta where this hakira might come up. So back to the kasha. What is the case that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about? What's the machlokas? Why does Beis Shammai say mutter? Why does Beis Hillel say asr? So over the next day and a half, we're going to have four shitas in the Gemara. Four shitas. What's the reason for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Today we're going to have the first two. Number one, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman gives the first opinion. What is the case? Really, we're talking about a chicken that's there to give you eggs, meaning it is off limits. You don't have plans to shech this chicken today. So really, it's muksa. But what's the chiddush? Ute islay muksa islay nolad, ute leslay muksa leslay nolad. But what we thought before was wrong. Really, if you hold a muksa, you hold a nolad. If you don't hold muksa as a problem, you also don't hold nolad as a problem. So Beis Shammai holds that there's no problem by muksa or by nolad. Beis Shammai k'Reb Shimon, or Beis Hillel k'Reb Yehuda. Beis Shammai is like Reb Shimon, who's the opinion that's known as leslahu muksa, like we saw the Meiri before, and Beis Hillel is like Reb Yehuda. Fine, opinion number one. When we ask Rav Nachman, he asked the Gemara, could Rav Nachman really say this? Could Rav Nachman really hold that? Did Rav Nachman really line up Beis Shammai with Rav Shimon? We have another context where he lines up Beis Shammai with Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel with Rav Shimon. So this is not going to be a substantive question. This is just going to be a problem within Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman himself lined the opinions up the opposite way. In which case, the Hatanan, the Mishnah says, in Shabbos, Beis Shammai Yomer Makbiyin Me'al HaShulchan Atzamos V'Klipin, after you ate chicken, so you have bones left on the table. You have atzamos and klipin and peels and shells, so there's no use for those. So those become semi-muksa. So what do you do with those shells and those peels that are left on the table? We'll talk about this in a minute, a little more lamaisa. But so says Beis Shammai, pick them up! Pick them up, no problem! No, Masalik is a tavla kula manara. You cannot pick them up directly. You have to do what's called tiltul min hatzad, which is moving muksa in an indirect way, which is allowed by certain muksas. Again, we're not passing which ones now, but it's allowed by certain muksas. So Basil says, pick up the tablecloth and shake it out. Shake it out, that's what you got to do. So what do you, from the Mishnah, Beis Shammai does not hold a muksa. Beis Hillel holds a muksa. So far, so good. But what's the problem? The Amar of Nachman, switches the shitas. Anu Elanu Ela Beis Shammai K'Reb Yehuda, or Beis Hillel K'Reb Shimon. No, now Beis Shammai is the one that says you have to shake out the tablecloth. And Beis Hillel says, yeah, you don't have to. So, within Rav Nachman, what do you mean? Rav Nachman just gave the pshat in our Mishnah that Beis Shammai does not hold a muksa. What do you mean? He just said in this other Mishnah, in Shabbos, that Beis Shammai holds like Reb Yehuda, he does hold a muksa. So it's a problem within Rav Nachman. How can Rav Nachman explain this Mishnah in one way and this Mishnah in the other way?
According to Rav Nachman, why would that even be true?
Why did Rav Nachman have to switch?
Right.
So he wouldn't have to. This is Misora. He must have had a Misora that this is the these names were switched.
No, but if Beis Hillel holds like Rav Shimon, why can't you touch it?
If Beis Hillel holds like Rav Shimon, then you would be able to. He has a different. He switches the names of the Mishnah. He switches the names of the Mishnah. So that's the Kasha. The Kasha is how could Rav Nachman do this? So Amar Lacha. Okay, there's something to say about this this Mishnah, but let's just finish the sentence, and then we'll come back. Amar Lacha Rav Nachman. Gabi, you don't know. Rav Nachman, you know what the difference is? Shabbos and Yontif. Here it's Shabbos and one's Yontif. He has different names in a different context. And as we'll see, let's read it. Amar Lacha Rav Nachman. Gabi Shabbos, the Sosom Latanik Reb Shimon. By Shabbos, Rav Nachman says, I found an anonymous Mishnah that goes like Reb Shimon. So you know what? I want Beis Hillel to go like Reb Shimon in Hilchos Shabbos. Because there's an anonymous Mishnah, right? No name in Hilchos Shabbos, so it must be that that's the halacha. So I want to line up Beis Hillel with that shita. In Yontif, the Gemara is going to say I found an anonymous Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, so I want to line up Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda. That's why. Don't ask me to see Rabbi. So again, Gabi Shabbos says on the Tanakh Reb Shimon by Shabbos where there's an anonymous Tanakh Reb Shimon. It's not as the Mishnah says the last daf in Masechta Shabbos. Machakon said Dulun Lefnei Behema. You're allowed to cut up gourds in front of an animal. As on a veil of their club, and you're allowed to cut up a nevela, an animal that died without shechita, nevela of their club in front of dogs. Rashi says, even though it became a nevela on Shabbos, let's say this animal died on Shabbos. It's muksa. No, but he says you're allowed to do this. Says an anonymous Mishnah, it follows the shita of Reb Shimon. There's no problem with muksa because it was in Snavel b'Shabbos. Mukim lola beisilak Reb Shimon. That's why Reb Nachman by Shabbos says beisilak like Reb Shimon. Aval gabi yantiv. The Sassam Latanak Reb Yehuda, but by Yantiv he found an anonymous mission like Reb Yehuda. It's not as the mission is later on in Beitza. The Flamin Aleph, Ein Mavakin Eitzim, Min HaKoros, Velo Min HaKoros, this Reb Yantiv. You're not allowed to cut up wood from boards. Let's say you have a big wood pile in your backyard. You're not allowed to use those on Yantiv, because they're set aside. You didn't have in mind to use those for firewood on Yantif, so therefore you see that Mishnah is something like Rabbi Yehuda, like a muksa top idea. So mukum al Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why Rabbi Nachman switched and put Rabbi Beis Hillel with Rabbi Yehuda. Period. That is why he did what he did. No stira in Rabbi Nachman. One's about Shabbos. One is about Yantif. A very important Tosfos on the bottom of Beis Hamidrash. Actually, two Tosfos in. two Tosas in. Tosas, every Tosas in base, this daf is chock full. But Tosas here, Maslo Magbihin. Right, so let's talk about that case that was brought up, about taking the peels and the shells and the bones off the table. Rashi says, Rashi quotes it in Rashi here, what type of bones are we talking about? Rashi quotes, it's not ro'i la'achila, period. Not Roy Lachilos Adam, not Roy Lachilos Behema. Tosas cannot accept that. Tosas says if it's something that's not Roy at all, then how could there be an opinion that you can move it? Everybody would agree that would be Usser. Everybody would be Usser. It can't be Rashi that it's ain't a Roy Klal. Tosas says it has to be Roy Lamacho Ambacha Behema at least. We can't be talking about bones that are totally inedible for anything because then nobody would say it's Mutter. That's Tosas Kasha on Rashi. The Pnei Yeshua here defends Rashi in two ways. He says there are two reasons and two ways why you can move something on Shabbos and Yontif. We're talking about Shabbos here, even if it's totally inedible and not good for anything. Number one, he quotes a Gemara later on, Graf Shel Rei. Graf Shel Rei, says the patient, what's that? Let's say you have a dirty diaper in the living room. That's not giving you any usage. That's not helping you out. But what's the halacha? You're allowed to pick it up directly and put it in the garbage. Why? Mokse, as you started off, is a Dinder Rabbanon. The whole thing is in the world of Rabbanans. Chazal said, if there's a Graf Shel Rei, something disgusting sitting in your living room, you let him move it out. Graf Shel Rei. So that is, Graf Shel Rei literally means the, where they used to go to the bathroom, this bowl used to go to the bathroom, but that concept applies anywhere. So it says the Bnei Yeshua, you have peels and bones and all over your dining room table. Graf Shel Rei, you're allowed to move it, even if it's not Roy Klal. Number one. Number two says the Bnei Yeshua, and this is a Chiddush, and that is, he says, even by something that's not Roy Klal, you obviously knew before Shabbos started that you can have chicken and you can leave over bones. You know that they're going to be here. So you're not Maksa Daito Chamihem. Even something that's not Roy Klal, says the Bnei Yeshua, you have the ability to think about and say, I am going to move them off my table on Shabbos. And Tosas must reject that. But that's the Chiddush in Rashi, according to the second shot of the Bnei Yeshua. Even something that's not Roy Klal, still you have the power to say, I am not Maksa totally Midaiti, and I'm going to be able to move it on Shabbos. Okay? Yeah?
Is the Rashi
Lashitash or the focus on the Gavra? Beautiful. Maybe Yisrael's right. Just like he said Noah before, we'll have to see this in as we continue. Just like Rashi before said Noah is the focus on the Chisaron and the Achanas Gavra. Maybe Rashi Lashitash so that you could override something that's not Roy in Misad HaChepsa with thought. Beautiful. That's the Pnei Yeshua and Tosas Magbiyin. The next Tosas is also important. Ubeisila. But what does Beisila say? You pick up a tablecloth and you go wee and you throw everything off. Ask Tosfos, there's a concept called Bussis L'davar Ha'aser. We know there's a concept, we thought about it in Sukkot, right? You bring the tray out to the Sukkah, right? And you have your candles lit on the tray, so that night you're going to want to bring your tray in with your candlesticks on it. But we know that you're not allowed to if you're on Shabbos. On Shabbos, even after the candles go out, you're not allowed to move the tray. Why? Bussis L'davar Ha'aser. If something is a support for a muksa item, it itself becomes muksa. Rashi and Shabbos says it's based on ikur and tafel. If the thing on top is ikur and this is supporting it, then it's batel to the ikur and it becomes part of the ikur. So how can you move the tablecloth? Isn't it a buses l'davar ha'aser? Right? These things, the tablecloth is a buses. Tosas has three different answers. Tosas says, number one, that in Shabbos, buses is only created if you put it there purposely on Erev Shabbos. You put the candlesticks on the tray, Erev Shabbos, that's when it is Aser. Here you didn't put them there on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, the second Shabbos starts, is the key time when it comes to Muksa, Bein HaShemashes, as we'll see many times. So you didn't put it there beforehand, that's why it's no Basis. Number one. Number two, says Tosfos, no, there's other food on the table. Not just these bones. You have Chal left on the table, you have the salt shaker. So this is what's called Basis L'davar Ha'aser U'L'davar HaMutter. And a Basis L'davar Ha'aser U'L'davar HaMutter is not Aser. That's why Pasuk Mutter. That is why some have the minog. They might not know why they do it. If you want to move the tray, you put on some challahs. Put a challah on the tray. You put some candies on the tray. So that way you'll be able to move it after the candles go out. You can't move it when the candles are lit. Why that's a chashash kibui. Yeah?
Why would there probably be something there on Shabbos on purpose, like for Shabbos? You put a candy dish on it.
Okay, can. Right. There's a Vilna Gaon that says candy dish, the candelabra is worth much more to you than the candy dish. So it doesn't help. But generally, the minog is to be mako.
Perception at that moment.
Right, I'm saying, but you're more interested in the candies, right, because you're going to want to move it. But that's the concept of buses of us of our mutter. If you have two things on it, then it doesn't become us. That's answer number two. And answer number three is, maybe it's not, even if you want to say that you don't need meniach, it's not called buses because you didn't even put it there. They just dropped out of your hands after you ate. Either way, another answer, other we shouldn't give other answers. Maybe these aren't chashuv enough at all to create muksa. That is a discussion in the Rashba here, but that is an important discussion of Tosfos regarding the concept of busts. Okay, let's get back to our our issue. Okay.
So,
yeah.
So according to the first explanation, the muktzah is more lenient on Shabbos than on
Oh, let's get to right now, Alex. Here we go. So it says the Gemara. So what did we just explain? That Rav Nachman by Shabbos he lined up a Hillel with Rav Shimon, and Rav Nachman by Yontif lined up a Hillel with Rav Yehuda because that's what Rav Yehuda Hanasi did. So ask the Gemara, Michti, Man Tadim L'Masisin, Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnayos? Rabbi Yehuda Nathi wrote the Mishnayos. Who wrote the anonymous Mishnayos? So what did Rebbe do? So Ma'aseh b'Shabbos is sozal like Rabbi Shimon, or Ma'aseh b'Yontif is sozal like Rabbi Yehuda. So why by Shabbos did he write an anonymous Nisal like Rabbi Shimon and on Yontif like Rabbi Yehuda? So go backwards a step. So Rav Nachman, you can't blame Rav Nachman. So let's blame Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Why did he do that? So Amri says the Gemara, no, this is why. Shabbos the Chamir of Lossi Lizazule Ba, Sasamon Kerb Shimon de Mako. Shabbos, which is stringent in people's eyes, they're not going to become to, we don't need any extra precautions by Shabbos. But Shabbos is Shabbos. Is Nisar, why is Shabbos more Chamer? So if Yosef Engel says that Pashtus is an Nisar Skila by Shabbos, Chilul Shabbos is skila. It's not just an issa, it's not just malchus like Yontif is. Number two, Rabbi Yosef Engel adds, goes from earlier we've shown him. By Yontif, you have some heterim already, cooking, carrying. So people are going to take Yontif a little less in their eyes. So Shabbos, you don't have any worries. So you don't need any extra chumras by muksa by Shabbos because it's already stringent in people's eyes. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Rabbi Shimon, like when it comes to Shabbos. Yontif to kill vasil zazuli bay sazam like Rabbi Yehuda demachmir. But Yontif, which is kal in people's eyes, he was shosim like Rabbi Yehuda le chumra. This is what the svar. This is svar is quoting the Gemara and the Rambam paskins this way. Feeling the Rambam hilchas Yontif. The Rambam says you will find sometimes things that are muksa on Yontif that are not muksa on Shabbos because of this, to make people think and realize that give it a little more chizuk because sometimes it's not as strong in people's eyes. Mashlam adav adoma. Sometimes the Gemara says chomer midivrei sof from Yosef Mishel Torah. Sometimes the Chachamim will give strength to a din d'rabbanon even more than to a din d'araisa because the d'araisa you found. Oh, it's not in the Torah. How do the rabbis make this up? Where did they come from? So rabbis, the Divrei Chachamim need chizuk. So that's why here too, similar. Yontif needs chizuk more than Shabbos, and that's why sometimes you'll find you more machmer by Yontif and more mako by Shabbos. Yeah. But this is all approach number one to explain the Mishnah, the approach of Rav Nachman, that the case is a case of, the machlokis is about muksa / nolad, Bishamai does not hold a muksa and nolad, and Beis Hillel does. That's all approach number one. Yeah.
You always have throughout Shabbos.
You have by concepts of suffix that you could go suffix daraisa lechomer suffix darabanan lekula, but when you're creating a law in the first place, like here, that's where you might have this mentality. Creating a law, Chazal are more worried about a case where there might be leniencies and slacking off more than Shabbos. You're right, in the case of a suffix, you're more machmer by Shabbos. We'll get to that in a second. But in the case of creating the law, then we are more makom. Okay. Ask the Gemara now, but Mayu Kipta, one second. What case, how will we mokum the Mishnah? Bitarnagolus ha'omedes legado beitzim, umishim muksa. What do we say? That the Mishnah is a case of tarnagolus ha'omedes legado beitzim, meaning a muksa type of chicken. It's there for to give you eggs, umishim muksa. And this year's muksa. So Ihachi asked the Gemara, "At the mitzvah beitzel, let's go b'tarnagolas." So why do we have the case about the egg? Just argue about the chicken. It's about muksa. So who cares? Why do you have to go to the next step of nolad? Argue about the chicken itself. Why are you arguing about the egg? Asked the Gemara. So Gemara says, "No, I'll tell you why we're arguing about the egg." Lohodiach hakocha de beishamai. No, it's to tell you how far beishamai goes. Beishamai not only allows muksa, but he even allows nolad, as we said before. Rashi arzarua. Why nolad is more chamur, but he even allows nolad to menolad shari. I asked the Gemara back. V'liflagi betanagolus lohodiach hakocha de beish hillel to bemuksa asri. Why don't you say it about the chicken? Because that's saying the finish of beish hillel. But he even Aser is the chicken, which is not nolad. So why don't you say it that way? Say the Aser is that. So Gemara says no. And if you want to say no, it's better to say the mutter. There's a bigger chiddush to say the mutter one. We'll get to that lashon. We'll get back to that in a second. But if you want to say it's better to say the mutter one, it's better to say the one who says so heter more than so machmir. So that's why it says beishamai. So the Gemara says b'nifal b'chavayis. Why doesn't it just say both? How many extra words would it have been? One, two extra words. So just say both. Mifluk b'tshavayu, tanagolus ha'omedes legado beitzim, hi u beitzasa, beishamai omim teyachel, beishalomim lo teyachel. So why don't you just say both? So Ella, you see an Ella, so this is now we're going to be up to answer number two. Approach number two, forget Rav Nachman, we're going to have Rabbah. But before we do that, we got to speak about Koach Tehatira Adif a little bit. Famous Rashi here. Why Koach Tehatira Adif? Why is it better to say the more that the Heter approach? Says Rashi, anybody could be Machmir. You go ask a rabbi something, go ask anybody something, that's better not to. No, he can know nothing about it. But it's easy to be, anybody can be Machmir. Just say don't do it. To be Matir, to be Mako, you gotta know the halacha to be Mako. You gotta have places in order to give a heter, you gotta really know what you're talking about to give a heter. Rashi debates that base. Rashi says you don't fear. There's no chiddush to be machmir. It's a chiddush to be meikel. That is Rashi. The Tzlachia, the Rebbe Yehuda, again, there's a few svarim that we didn't use so much on the Sechah Sukkah, but on Beitza they're going to be primary. The Tzlach, the Pnei Yeshua, the Achronim, the Rashba. We have the Ritva on Sukkah. The Rashba is on Beitza. But says the Tzlachia in this Gemara, you know what? This principle of Koach Tehatira Adif only applies to Dinim D'Oraisa. Because by a D'Oraisa, if you're not sure what to do, then you're going to have to be Machmir. Like, we're not going to do Savi D'Oraisa L'Chumra. So therefore, Koach Tehatira Adif by D'Oraisa, because that's telling you something you wouldn't have done otherwise. But by D'Rabbanan, says the Tzlach, then you say Koach D'Isura Adif. Why? Because D'Rabbanan's, you know, otherwise, you would be Mekel anyway. You don't need anybody to tell you, it's Savi D'Rabbanan Gula. So you'd be Mekel anyway. So what is, so what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush of Koach D'Isura Adif. What's the Kasha? We're talking about Muksa here. It's a Rabbanan. What's he talking about? No, it's a Rabbanan. So that's what he says. Oh, no. Muksa is Ke'en Z'Oraisa. We're going to see Ke'en the right. We're going to see the Tosas of Yishanim on Daf Gimel on the base and the little letters over there. They're going to say, Muksa, we sometimes treat Chamira Ke'en Z'Oraisa. That's what the first time we have this. This Nodeb Yehuda, he limits it. The Maritz Chai and other Achronim ask on the Nodeb Yehuda, on the Tzlach from other Gemaras, where you see this principle applied even to Dinim D'Rabbanan. But that is a huge Chiddush, but that's his, we understand his Farah. That Koach Tehatira Adif, we have Rashi, and we have the Tzlach. The Tzlach says, Ruglani Lafarish, this is how I always explain it. But the other Achronim say, maybe it's not so pashut based on other context, but that is Rashi on the Tzlach on Koach Tehatira Adif. Okay, we move on. So it says, so we're up to Akasha now. We're up to Akasha. What's the Pshat of the Mishnah? What's the Machlos between Pshat and Mevisil? So we had Rav Nachman was number one. So now number two. Ella Amar Rabba. Number two. Li'ola botanical is on this fakhila. Really, we're talking about a chicken who's ready to eat. Meaning, no muksa. There's no muksa issue here. Ubiyant, but you know what the case of the Mishnah is? Ubiyantif shechalios achara Shabbos askinan. We're talking about a yantif that falls out on Sunday. Yantif fell out on Sunday and the egg came out today. What does that mean? The Gemara assumes, umishum hachana. There's a problem of preparation here. V'ksava rabba, what kind of preparation? Called beitza de misyaldo ha'itzna me'esmo gamrala. No, because we assume that any egg that came out today was nigmar, was finished the process yesterday. So if yanta falls out on Sunday, this egg was finished yesterday. So Shabbos prepared for yantif. If Shabbos prepares for yantif, that is a problem. The rabba la'taime, and rabba goes according to his reasoning, to amar rabba, rabba says, the pasuk of Parshas B'Shalach, on the sixth day they prepared everything. Chol Mechon LeShabbos, a weekday could prepare for Shabbos. V'chol Mechon LeYantif, and a weekday could prepare for Yantif. But Vein Yantif Mechon LeShabbos, Vein Shabbos Mechon LeYantif. But two Yemei Kodesh, Shabbos Yantif Yantif and Shabbos are not allowed to prepare for each other. And therefore, in this case, when Yantif falls out on Sunday and the egg comes out on Yantif, so then it was Nigmar yesterday, and therefore Shabbos prepared for Yantif, and therefore this egg is off limits. This could even be a Din D'Oraisa. This could even be a Din D'Oraisa. Remember the approach number one, a Muksa and Nola, that was for sure D'Rabbanan. Maybe it's a farmer D'Rabbanan, but it's D'Rabbanan. This approach number two could be, according to some readings, a Din D'Oraisa. Yeah.
This Hachana
has nothing to do with you, correct, but the Chiddush is, even this Hachana B'dei Shamayim is a problem. Because, the way Rashi explains it, is that Shabbos and Yontif Seudos are Chashuv. Torah is achshavei su'ud Shabbos and Yantif. They require, it's not just that it's a problem of a problematic hachana, they require a proper hachana from a weekday to this holy day. And therefore, if there's a problem in the hachana, if it was prepared on one Yom Kodesh to another Yom Kodesh, that is a problem, and therefore the product of that problem is going to be off limits. That is this, yeah.
Why would you say this is not a din d'oraisa?
Why would you say, because the pashas is not d'oraisa. Look at Rashi. Rashi says here that the muksa d'oraisa here. This type of muksa,
yeah,
right. This hachana, lack of hachana is d'oraisa. Not everybody agrees, but we'll see. see why you might not be daraisa. But that is this is approach number two on for the Mishnah. Tosis is here, yeah.
Why does the Gemara say it doesn't make a difference if it's yantar before Shabbos or Shabbos? Why does the Gemara specifically say yantar before Shabbos?
Because the case we're talking about is the egg laid on yantar. So Shabbos prepared for yantar. The other way, you can't cook it on Shabbos. So it's not going to make a yantar if you want to cook it today. The answer is it's going to be muksa. Important tosis here. Again, every tosis here is very important. Tosis in Vahaya. Tosis asks, how do we cook from Yantif to Shabbos? Right, if Yantif falls out on Friday, so how do we cook from Yantif to Shabbos? We prepare our food from Yantif to Shabbos. It says here, it's a Daraisa! It says here that it's a Daraisa Pashas to cook from Yantif to Shabbos. So even though we know there's a principle that we're going to have on Daf Tezayin, beginning of the second parak, called Erev Tavshilin, which is a Takana Derabanan, which allows us to cook from Yantif to Shabbos. We're going to get to how that works later on, as in 2 weeks or so. But Tosa says, if it's an Issa D'Oraisa to cook from Yantif to Shabbos, how does Erev Tavshilin help? Chachamim can't come up and say you're allowed to cook on Yantif to Shabbos. Tosa has two answers. Number one, Tosa says, no, you have to remember another principle. The principle of Hoil. We had him in Sechel Tzachim. Hoil means because, really, Yantif is on Friday. So at any moment, guests can walk into my house and they'll be hungry and I'm not going to have to cook for them. So any moment, really, it's right to cook. So I'm cooking now. Okay, I have in mind to cook tomorrow. But really, Me'ikar Adin, it's not an Issa D'Oraisa. Because really, anything I cook right now is right for me to partake in right now. That Hoel makes the D'Oraisa into a Drabanan. That's what Hoel does. Hoel doesn't make a Mutter. Hoel makes it into the D'Oraisa. Hoel Mikloy Lele Archim Chazilai makes it into a Drabanan. Once it's a Drabanan, Tosa says, then Erev Tavshilin kicks in. So Hoel takes the Issa D'Oraisa of Rabbah into an Issa D'Rabanan, and then once it's only Asa Midrabanan to cook from Yantif to Shabbos. Because really, anything you cook today is Ro'i. So then, Erev Tavshilin kicks in and allows you, L'chadchila, to cook from Yantif to Shabbos. Achronim discussed what about in the last 10 minutes before Shabbos. Right? This Hoel still apply. I guess it's going to come right now. Discussion in the Karban Sanal and other Achronim. It's best to prepare a little bit earlier. Right? Not right before because of this issue. Number one. Number two says Tosis. A second answer Tosis says that anything that is Afilo, in the middle of the wide lines. The Afilo, the Danicha, the Kaldavarsha, Afui, Umavusho, Loshayach Behachana. Anything that's basically prepared already, you know, it's there's no Isra of Achana. Isra Achana is only by real major things, like an egg not being there, an egg becoming an egg. But items that are not are developed, basically, it's basically you have ingredients, you're going to cook a little bit. That's not really a problem of Achana. That's the second answer. Okay, it tells us at the end of the answer, by the way, he talks about that Shabbos and Yontif each be making for each other. Tosfos says, discusses whether the mun fell on Erev Yontif twice, or if it just fell on Yontif. That's the Tosfos discussion. He quotes Medrashim Chalukim, the first wide line. Right? Big nafkamina. You have to have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. You have the Lechem Mishnah. Lechem is zecher to the double mun that fell on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. So we paskin, you have to have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. You have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, you have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. But Tosfos here says it's a machlokis in the Midrashim, whether the mun fell double on Erev Yontif. Okay, but from our Gemara, he says it seems like it did. Okay. Sorry?
According to the first Teretz of Tosfos.
Why is it separate
from
Shabbos the same?
Hakana Shabbos has to be the meal for Shabbos. We'll get to how Erev Tavshilin works, starting before Yontif, already be making for Shabbos. We'll have to get to that. Okay, so let's get back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, this is the second approach to how to explain the Mishnah, that Rabba says it's not a muksa issue, it's a lack of Hakana issue, that Shabbos prepared for Yontif. So I'm going to buy you, 1 second, El Meyata, Yontif Baal Matishtari. So if the only case that's utter is because Yontif that falls after Shabbos, so a regular Stama Yontif case, Yontif on Tuesday, so it should be Mutter if the egg is born that day. Right? But there's no Isra of Hachana. So Gemara says, no. Gzeira Mishum Yontif Achar Shabbos. No, it's a Gzeira. Gzeira Mishum Yontif falling after Shabbos. Oh, Dobie's question. Shabbos to Almat history. Aye, so what about a regular Shabbos? Let's say you want to eat it raw. Basis and Altar of Shabbos. Should be Mutter. Why do we say it's Aser? No. Gzeira Mishum Shabbos Achar Yontif. So they each have a Gzeira. Plain Yontif and plain Shabbos is, if you don't, if it's not, it's a Tagonos HaOmedes LaAchila. So let's say, how you can eat the chicken. So good question. I think the Rishonim discussed that. Tishrei Gzeira Mishum Shabbos Achar Yontif. So we'll get back to that question. So Shabbos is also Aser because Gzeira Shabbos after Yontif. So the Gemara says, Umi Gazrina, do we make such Gzeiras? of Shabbos and Yontif up to a case where they fall the day afterwards. We make such gzeiros. There's another case in the same world of eggs on Yontif where we don't make a gzeira. What case? V'hatanya, the Brisa says, Hashochet is Hatanya Golos Amadav Abesim Gemuros. Let's say you shech the chicken on Yontif and you find whole eggs in the chicken. Basim Gemuros. You find whole eggs in the chicken. V'halach is Mutaris V'halachlam B'Yontif. You're allowed to eat them. Even though if the egg would have come out that day, it would have been Aser. But if you find it inside the chicken, it's mutter. Ask the Gemara. V'im Isa, but if we make Zeras in the world of eggs, Ligzer Misham Hanachlam Shaldim Yomeyam. Why don't make a Zera? You're not allowed to eat it if you find it in the chicken because it might have been born, it might have been late today if you wouldn't have done anything. So why don't we make a Zera? And if it would have been, or not, it might have been, but because in a case where it would have been late, it would be Aser. So this case would also be Aser. Amar Lai, says the Gemara, no. Finding eggs inside an animal is a very unusual occurrence. And the halacha is, milsa de lo shchicha, by unusual occurrences, lo gazru be rabbanan. The rabbanan were not goes there in those cases. Milsa, what does that mean, lo gazru be rabbanan? Does that mean they didn't? Or does that mean they couldn't? By milsa de lo shchicha, the rabbanan did not make a gzera. So does that mean they're not going to make gzeras for like unusual occurrences? Or does it mean that no, milsa de lo shchicha, they couldn't? What do I mean, do they couldn't? Let's ask another question first. Rashi here quotes. Rashi says, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, why don't we aser the eggs inside because they might have been born today? Rashi says, isn't that a gzera l'gzera? We're going to aser the eggs being found in the chicken because they might have been born today. But if they're born today on the plain Shabbos and Yontif, that's also aser already, mishum, the case of Yontif Acher Shabbos or Shabbos Acher Yontif. Gzera l'gzera. So Rashi says, no, we're talking about a case. The question of the Gemara really is, you should aser if you find eggs inside an animal in a case of Yontif Acher Shabbos. That's the question. So it's only one step. Or a case of Shabbos Acher Yontif. That's the real case that Gemara is talking about. But Rashi quotes the idea of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. And Tosfos says, so we have two principles here. The Rabbanan will never make a Gzeira L'Gzeira. The Rabbanan will never make a Gzeira in a case of Milsa de lo Shchicha. So what is that? Is that that they wouldn't? Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. Rashi quotes the Makar for the power of the Rabbanan to do such a thing. Rashi quotes, and again, this Rashi is quoted, Ushmartim es mishmarti, about the 10th wide line, Asum mishmeres le mishmarti, make a mishmeres for my mishmar. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the Chacham have the power to add on. Asum mishmeres le mishmarti. So I saw I have my notes, that Rav Shechter said, by inkos and zera l'gzera, and mosul l'shrichal l'gazabe rabbanon, it's not just that they wouldn't, but that they couldn't. Because every time Chazal make a new law, they're already bordering on Val Tosef. They're already bordering on adding on to the Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim talks about this. That if Chazal would ever get up and say, chicken and milk is Aser Midaraisa, that's an Isra of Baltosif. They're allowed to say, the Torah allows this, but chicken and milk is going to be Aser Midarabanan. That's not Baltosif, because they're making a gzera to protect the Torah. They're making a gzera to make sure everybody keeps the Torah. But Chazal have heterim to make certain laws in certain cases. But when it's outside of that heter, when it's a milsa de lo shchicha, when it is a gzera l'gzera, so it's not just that they wouldn't, but it could be that the Torah never gives them the authority to make laws in those kind of cases, and if they do, that's an issur of baltosef. It's not just that they wouldn't, but that they couldn't. Milsa de lo shchicha l'gazer b'rabanan, and also you might say that by ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. So this is all the second answer, the second approach to how you explain the Mishnah. Yeah.
What's the Shaka Lakari? The Rabbi says the case of the Mishnah is on Yom Tov Shabbos.
Right.
And if I ask what about
the Alma? I'm saying so the Gemara.
Not the case of the Mishnah.
I'm saying fine. You're right. He's not like that's the case of the Mishnah. So he's just bothered in general. But he says, well, why about a Shabbos in general? Not asking on the side of the Mishnah. But if that's the reason why based on the Yom Tov is going to be Usher because of this specific case, then if it's not that case, shouldn't it be Mutter? And the answer is not. The answer we know is Usher. The assumption we know is Aser. So the answer is, so why? It's known. That's what we know the halacha is. That's what they knew what the halacha was. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. We have three more minutes. Question.
Why don't we use this principle of Baal Tosef for the warning about it? We go up to Aser other. Here you can't really be Mahamir and.
Right, so there's. Okay, but that's related to that, to the tzlach from before. That if you don't know, you're going to be Mahamir or more Mako. But in the case, in the
even more Mahamir, that's a problem.
If we're more macro, then it might be a violent, right? It might border on baltosef, right? That's it's part of the issue. Okay, there is a discussion in the Rishonim that the Rashba and the Ran here discuss, and that is what was the whole discussion of the Mishnah. The halacha is if you find eggs inside a chicken, so then you're allowed to eat them. You're allowed to eat them because you don't make a gzera or two. You know they aren't born today. But ask the Rashba, ask the Ran. But one second, maybe they mamish would have been born today. If they would have come out today, so then they're asher mishum hachana, they were finished yesterday. So why don't you say something to Raisa l'chumra? Hachana is an issa daraisa, according to Rabbah. So why? So the Gemara was only bothered, why don't you go there up to a case, you know, because in a parallel case, you know, if an egg would have come out, so then it's usher. So then here's the Mishnah usher. Forget if in a parallel case. This case, asked the Rashba, this case, maybe the egg would have come out today. So maybe it would have come out in 10 minutes from now. You shafted it. Maybe it would have come out in 10 minutes from now. So it should be usher daraisa. So it should be daraisa l'chumra. So says the Rashba. There's the Rashba. The notes on this Rashba are very special. You write, read the Hakdama. There's a Rabbi Sklar that did the Rashba in Sadr of Cook on Beitza, and he writes that he learned Beitza for 3 years with the Rav Yashiv. So that's when he took the did these this Rashba and he took the notes. So a lot of the notes on the Rashba in Sadr of Cook, he talks about, he quotes some Pesachim from Rav Yashiv. In Tafshin Nun Beis, Tafshin Nun Dalet, the Shabbos was Yom Tovin. He learned days of Moreh Rebbe Rav Yashiv Shlomo Yashiv Shlita. So that's who put together the Rashba on the Sechas Beitza. So the Rashba asked this question. He says, you know why? It's not halachically defined as hachana until you have a finished product. You're right, it might have come out. But because you didn't let it get to the end, that's not a halachically recognized hachana. Hachana is only when you have the finished product. Right? It's against the vart that many quote from the Chavetz Chaim, the Anu Amelam, Vehim Amelam. Anu Amelam, Kalam Schar for the Amelus. Right? Even if you don't get to the Tachlis. Vehim Amelam, they only get Schar for finishing the job. No, but this is the opposite. This is that... Right, this is the opposite of, this is like the other ones, the Hema Melem. Right, this is, the Rashba says that unless it's finished, until it comes out, it's not called Hachana. So if you stop the process in the middle, so what? It might have come out today. It's not called Hachana because you didn't do anything. That is what the Rashba says. The Ran, yeah?
But also when there are rabbinic zayers, they're usually on something that's already done. It's not something that might happen.
What do you mean? The Rabbanan are worried that something might...
Like you said, it's not a...
Oh, because it might... Oh, so no, the question of these Rishonim is not a Gzeira to Rabbanan. It's that maybe we shouldn't allow it based on a Suffolk D'Oraisa L'Chumra. We don't know whether... If it would come out in an hour from now, that means it was finished yesterday. And we just said if it was finished yesterday, then the Shabbos prepared for Yontif. So therefore, it should be usher, not because of a law, a decree that the Rabbanan are going to make, but because it's suffix daraisa l'chumra. So the Rashba says it's not called hachana unless it's a finished product.
Maybe in that case it would be daraisa.
Sorry? Maybe it would be usher. Yeah. Rishonim assume that it's not. Rishonim says, oh, there is a Rabbeinu Ephraim quoted that maybe we do argue on this. Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Ran, I think, is quoted that we do argue on this. We don't paskin this way. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way that if you have a chicken at home and you shecht it on Yantif and... So it's going to be usher, but
Yontif
after Shabbos, right? So that's answer number one. But the Ran here quotes two other answers. He says he says the Ramban has an interesting answer. Ramban tirates she'ein hachana oser el b'davar shalobal liyado el machmas osa hachana. Says the Ramban, hachana is only a problem when the hachana is what allowed you to achieve the result that you got. But if you did something else to do it, so what? There was also hachana. But how did you get these eggs? Because you shechted, not because it came out. So that's also not a problematic hachana. So you learn two yisodas from the Rashba and the Ramban. The Rashba says it's only a recognized hachana when you have the finished product. The Ramban, according to the Ran, says no, it's only recognized hachana when it's the hachana is what allowed you to get to the results. But if you did something else, you shechted it, so then it wouldn't be a problem. But anyway, these are the first two answers of pshat of the Gemara. The first one is the Ramban and Muksa. The second one is this case of Hachana de Rabba. We're going to get to number 3 and number 4, Rez Hashem, tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take the questions. Okay, today's shiur. I forgot to mention, today's is Rav Meir Shapiro's yard site. Today's Rav Meir Shapiro's yard site. The reason we are all here is because of him, and they say that he did not have any children, but we are all his children. And the fruits of his labor keep going, and exponentially, every mesecta of every round of every dafyomi, he gives birth to more and more children. So we, exclusive of the learning of today and of every day, really has much to do with him.
So there's no
tachna? There is
tachna.
Yeah.
Can you eat a banana that became yellow on Shabbos? In other words,
right. Good question. But we say it's probably edible.